How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 32 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can also leave a review if you're feeling like it as well. Find us on audioboom.com too. You can go to normantranscript.com to follow my Thunder coverage there. My blog, it's called Thunder Road. You can check it out on the site. And remember, I'm on Tuesdays, Thursday mornings. That'll be through about the middle of September. And then I'm going to go back to the daily format like I was doing before after that. Let's talk some Thunder. You want to talk some Thunder? Great. Let's do it. Why else would you come here if you didn't want to talk Thunder? We've done some Olympic basketball lately. We did real tweet, fake tweet with Jake King. Let's talk Thunder. We got Kyle Singler talk in the last episode. How many podcasts are just dedicating podcasts to Kyle Singler? I don't even know if like Kyle Singler's mother's podcast is dedicating the entire podcast to Kyle Singler. I don't think that's happening. Today, let's jump on the Josh Huestis train. Let's make it happen. I have a piece up on normantranscript.com. Right now, you can head onto the website and find that. It's all about Josh. He's a really interesting player, I think. He's someone I've been asked about a lot more than I expected. It's not really because of his basketball abilities that I find him to be an interesting case either. It's more about the way he came up, where he came from in the Thunder system. So, in case you were, you know, unaware of where the Thunder, of how he went through the process with the Thunder, here's basically what happened. So the Thunder drafted Huestis with the 29th pick, 29th overall, first round pick in the 2014 draft. And Huestis didn't play for the Thunder right away. That was the plan all along. He was going to go straight to the D League, and that was how they drafted him. A lot of pundits, a lot of draft experts, whatever you want to call them, a lot of those people thought that Huestis was a second-round talent and that he was going to go in the second round. But they had this prearranged deal, the Thunder and Huestis did, that Huestis was going to go down to the D League, he was going to sign a D League contract, and it was going to delay his rookie contract one full year. So instead of becoming a rookie for the 2014-15 season, after being drafted in the 2014 draft, he was going to play in the D League for 1 year and become a rookie in the 2015-16 season. It delayed his rookie-scale contract. It did everything from his perspective. It guaranteed him first-round money because first-round contracts are all predetermined. The 29th pick gets a certain amount of money, and Josh Huestis wanted that guaranteed money. Now, it was guaranteed a year later. Some players, they don't want to play in the D-League. Take that D-League salary, that five-figure D-League salary you got to take. Maybe some players need that money, you know, the NBA money right away, and they're willing to negotiate a second-round contract or play overseas or something like that. Huestis, you know, he got his first-round money, and the Thunder, they took a risk. You know, it saved them money for a year. They delayed his contract for a year. Cap goes up a little bit more. His salary becomes minimally, but still a little bit more valuable. And it saves them a little bit more money for an extra year. And the Thunder, our team, notorious for kind of trying to manipulate cap and manipulate rules like that so that they can take advantage of having their own D-League affiliate like they do in the Oklahoma City Blue. So that was not an out-of-character move by any means by the organization. But it is an interesting one because it's the first time an organization has ever drafted a guy with the intention of sending him to the D-League and signing him to a D-League contract and making him exclusively a D-Leaguer after being drafted in the first round during what could have been his rookie season. It's the first time it happened. We don't have any sort of history in order to try to figure out if this thing is going to work. We don't have any sort of history to try to figure out how this is going to go. Now, Huestis only played 5 games in the NBA last year, and what could have played more? He could have played the whole year. Last year was his rookie year. Even though it was his second pro season, it was his rookie year in the NBA. Last year, he only played 5 games. He still played with the Thunder's D-League team, the Blue, more often than not, pretty much the whole year. He's going to be 25 years old this year. Now, he's really explosive, in case you don't know about Huestis because you're not sitting around watching D-League teams. He's really explosive. He's really athletic. He can jump like crazy. He can jump out of the gym. He's 6'7". He can protect the rim at 6'7". Like, he's a wing who can protect the rim. That's what's attractive about him as a player. There aren't a lot of wings who can actually go up and block shots consistently. He blocked a ton of shots at Stanford. He altered shots. He can be a pretty solid help defender. He's a bright guy. But he's got his flaws. He doesn't shoot. He doesn't handle the ball. He hasn't really proven to be a factor on the offensive end. And that's something that the Thunder are trying to work into him. Now, the Thunder have really good player development. They always have. People tout them for their drafting. And obviously, that's been strong. You know, they've had their guys who haven't worked out, but their drafting more often than not has been strong. And it's not just because of, you know, Westbrook was top 5 and Harden was top 5 and Durant was top 5. You know, but they got Adams lower, you know, at the end of the lottery. You know, what was Adams? 12. And they got Ibaka, you know, outside of the lottery. And they got Reggie Jackson outside of the lottery. And they got Robertson outside of the lottery. And these guys that they're bringing in outside of the lottery, people tout that for their drafting. But it's not just the drafting. It's also the player development. The player development inside that organization is excellent. It's pretty much as good as you're going to get in the league. And I think it takes an organization that's very kind. I think a lot of people blasted the Thunder for that decision. And I'll be honest, I didn't love that as a move that an organization would make with what they did at Huestis at the time they made it. I wasn't covering the team yet, but I was covering the league, and I was public, and that I didn't love that as a decision for an organization. But I do think one thing an organization needs in order to make a decision like that, in order to make that move that they made in delaying Huestis an extra year and making him a D-leaguer, a guy who maybe wasn't a first-round talent. But what they did was they had a lot of confidence in their internal player development. And that's something that's rightfully so. They deserve to have that. They've had a lot of success in that. But Huestis so far hasn't really learned how to shoot. He hasn't really learned how to create on the offensive end, and that's what's kind of prevented him. Now, I'm interested to see exactly what's going to happen with Huestis this year. I don't really know. I think it's unfair to say we know what Josh Huestis is right now, even though he's 25 years old, because the process in which he's come up, the way he's almost been treated like a baseball player going through the minor leagues, I think that process is unique to Josh Huestis. Now, we've seen other guys come up through the D-League, not just with the Thunder, but other places. But we haven't seen guys go from the first round to just the D-League from a contractual standpoint. And I think that does buy the Thunder some time. Now, I'm not arguing that Huestis is going to be a star, because we haven't seen that. I'm not even arguing the Thunder have to play Huestis like I did with Singler last week. Because Singler, we had the NBA resume for. Singler, we had 2.5 years of evidence that Singler could play from his time in Detroit. We haven't had that with Huestis anywhere in the pros. It just hasn't been a thing. I'm just saying it's not necessarily time to make judgments on Huestis yet. I don't think it's time to call him a bust. Even after 5 games played last year, it's not time. I know he hasn't impressed, but this is literally the first time an organization has done this. And for that reason alone, let's wait it out. Now, the Thunder have to pick up or decline his third-year option before the start of this season. They have to make a decision on that. And if they don't pick that up, that's when we can start talking. That's when we can say that this didn't work out. But we're not there yet, though. And I think we have to be a little more nuanced, just a little more aware when discussing someone like Huestis. This is not your usual first rounder. There's never been anyone in this situation. And we just need to acknowledge that when we're talking about someone like this. Twitter question before we go. Repeat questioner, what up, that ball guy Chris on Twitter? That ball guy Chris. I'm playing favorites. I like that ball guy, Chris. Will the Thunder have another 20-point scorer? How many guys in double digits? That's that ball guy's Chris. That bald guy, Chris's question. Another 20-point scorer? I assume Russell Westbrook is the first 20-point scorer if you're saying another 20-point scorer. I don't think Josh Huestis is going to be the guy. Sorry, Josh Huestis. Russell Westbrook's going to be the 20-point scorer. Another 20-point scorer? Nah, I mean, I guess Oladipo's got a chance. He's that kind of ball-dominant guy. If he really makes a leap, he's got the best chance of it being him. But I don't think there's going to be another 20-point scorer. I think the ball's going to be shared some more. Last year, 4 guys scored double digits. 4 guys averaged double digits last season. Westbrook, Durant, Ibaka, Cantor. Durant gone, Ibaka gone. You got two guys coming in double digits. So let's go through this. I think five guys are going to average double digits this year. I think we'll see five of them do it. Five guys on the roster right now. If they make roster moves, you know, you can kill me for it. Blast me. Kill me. I think it'll be five guys. I'm going to go reverse order. Well, I already gave Westbrook. So reverse order, even though Westbrook is obviously going to be the leading scorer on this team. I'll say number five is Ersan Ilyasova. I think he's going to start. They need the shooting in there. They need him slotted next to Steven Adams in the power forward just from a role perspective. Like, if he starts, he's going to be the only starter who's an above-average three-point shooter at his position. He's like a 37-38 career three-point shooter. Throw him in there. Play him 25 minutes. Play him 22 minutes. I think he averages 10 points in that time. Maybe he's a little bit below, but I think he averages about 10 points. What will be interesting to see is how many points he gets off offensive rebounds. Ilyasova has previously in his career been a good offensive rebounder. That's changed over the past few years progressively. Now, his rebounding numbers on both ends have fallen, but it's changed the last few years. I wonder if playing with Adams, playing with Cantor, and playing on a team whose philosophy is to kind of swarm on offensive rebounds, I wonder if that's going to trigger a little bit more of an offensive rebound fight for him. That said, he's also going to have to play on the perimeter, maybe more than he ever has before, because he's really their floor spacer as a four. Like, he is their floor spacer, and he's been with teams, you know, he's had teams, like when he was playing in Detroit, he had to be that role next to Andre Drummond. You know, he's had that, and that's part of why his offensive rebounding has gone down. But it's going to be interesting to see how his role playing away from the rim also juxtaposes his offensive rebounding. That'll be a fun little trend with Ilyasova for the upcoming season. Number four, I'm going to say Steven Adams. Adams averaged 8 a game last year. He's going to get more minutes this year. I mean, just by minutes. Just by minutes, he played exactly the same, and he's going to get double digits. I mean, he's not going to play the same. He's better. He's going to touch the ball more with Durant gone. He's not going to touch all Durant's touches, but some of those touches are going to go to Adams, and they won't necessarily be post-touches. Maybe a couple of them will, but he's going to get the ball more in the pick and roll. He's going to be more featured in the offense. I think he'll be up around 12 a game. I don't see why not. He's got decent touch around the rim, and he's got good hands, and he can finish alley-oops, and he's athletic. And, he's got better ball skills, I think, than he's shown so far. I think Adams can get up to 12, 13. Sure, why not? Number three, Enes Kanter. Averaged 13 a game last year. Dude's just a remarkably skilled offensive player. Great footwork, soft touch. Think he's a better shooter than people give him credit for. He's a good shooter. He's just a really skilled offensive player. Gets points off offensive boards. I mean, obviously, Kanter and Oladipo. Oladipo's an interesting one. There's things that he's really good at. I mean, he's ferocious going to the rim. He's hard to guard. He's an exhausting guy to guard because he's so active. He's so energetic. He's physical. He's you know, big-shouldered, and he's strong, and he's fast, and he's explosive. You know, it's a similar type of deal to Westbrook. Obviously, he's not Russell Westbrook. Nobody is. But it's a similar type of deal in which he just exhausts the guy who's guarding him throughout games. He's so energetic. He's so athletic. He's so explosive. He's a big guy, too. I mean, he's certainly going to be in double digits. There's no question about that. The question is how much. I could see him in, you know, 16 and 19 range. I mean, look, points per game is hard to figure. What's more important is role. What's more important is playing time, and not even playing time, but how the rotations are going to work out and when guys are going to play and what lineups are going to work and what lineups are going to play together and all that. But I can deal with, I can do some fantasy basketball talk. I think he's going to see an uptick in his points this year. I think we're going to see a really good year from him. He's 24. I think he had some moments where he really showed that he was starting to figure it all out in the second half of last year. And Orlando wasn't the greatest environment for him, and it kind of stifled that in times. But But I think he's going to have a really good year, even if there are flaws next to Russell Westbrook. You know, both of them stylistically being similar, winning the balls, being penetrators instead of shooters. You know, playing on a team that doesn't have a ton of shooting, which means it's going to be harder for them to drive the lane than it would be if they just had, you know, three other three-point shooters around them. It'll be harder for them to drive the lane because of that. There'll be a little more traffic with defenders collapsing in on them. But you know what? I think he'll figure it out. I think his shooting numbers are going to be decent. I think he's going to hit some threes. 16 to 18 seems about right. I think he might run some point if Cameron Payne doesn't immediately pick it up. If Cameron Payne struggles at the beginning of the year, because he had his rookie struggles last year and he's still only 21, and I think he's a talented kid and he's going to be an NBA rotation player. But if Cameron Payne has some struggles, I think we could see Oladipo, you know, take over as almost a backup, you know, not even a backup point guard, but, you know, a facilitator in the second unit. I think we'll see those lineups regardless. But if Payne struggles, we could see him some more. 16 to 18 for Oladipo sounds right. And Westbrook won. I don't know. What's he going to average? 50, 40, and 30. Something like that. We'll say 50, 40, and 30. Before we head out, I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday from this point forward. That's going to be true through the middle or so of September when I'll return back to every weekday like I was doing before, just, you know, Monday through Friday. If you're subscribed to the show, you'll be all good on getting those. And remember, you can head on to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. You can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road. That's my blog to follow team coverage there and what's next for the Thunder. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you Thursday for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
Fashion hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High fashion, Old Navy.
Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.